Joining me now on the line is freelance journalist Tom Finn, based in Sana'a, Yemen, who files for NPR, The Guardian, and Al Jazeera English, and also Voice of America. Tom, welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Well, there's a lot going on right now in Yemen the past few days. Now, the pro-democracy youth and this network of tribes are just different power players that are trying to bring Saleh down. They obviously are of one mind, and they want one thing. Do you think there's enough commonality between what the pro-democracy youth and what the tribes want? Maybe they want something more traditional that isn't purely democratic.
I think you're completely right. And you've hit upon a point that a lot of people in the West in particular have tended to overlook or even deliberately ignore. There is a big mixture of people who are opposed to Ali Abdullah Saleh and who are part of this uprising. And it's not anywhere as simple as just pro-democracy youth versus, you know, long-standing tyrant. As you said, all you need to do is look at the formal Yemeni opposition coalition to see how much variety there is. That's made up of an Islamist party, a socialist party, and a Nasserite party. There are very different ideas about what people want a future Yemen to look like, but there are a few things that unite them, and one of them is that they've had enough of Ali Abdullah Saleh and his family ruling the country. Another is that people are sick and tired of the awful economic situation that they find themselves in. Yemen is a desperately poor country. It's by far the poorest country in the Middle East. 40% of the population live on less than a dollar a day. This is part of the grievances. People feel like if they can topple this government, then maybe they can start building a new country towards achieving, you know, a better condition. But there's definitely tensions there, and there's no guaranteeing that after Saleh goes that everything's going to be fine in Yemen. There's going to be a lot of debate and a lot of conflict surrounding, you know, what a future government looks like. And I think the other thing that people overlook is the importance of Islam in the protests in Yemen. The importance of things like martyrs, you know, the fact that so many of these people are willing to put their lives on the line, march towards bullets, it's very closely intertwined with Islam. And I don't think that in very few occasions is there anyone in the protest camp who foresees a completely secular democratic system in Yemen.
Why do you think, if you compare Saleh to Ben Ali or Hosni Mubarak or Muammar Gaddafi, it seems like his brazenness and his denial of the way things are going is bolder? Is that part of his personality, or does he think he can actually outflank the GCC, outflank his own people, and outflank all of his tribes when it doesn't seem likely as time goes on?
Ali Abdullah Saleh is infamous for being particularly stubborn, but also very wily and cleverly adept at dividing his opponents and staying in power. I mean, he's done that for three decades, and no one would disagree that Yemen is one of the hardest countries in the world to govern. But I think a major reason that Yemen has been perhaps different from the other Arab Springs, especially in the longevity of the protests, is that I think Ali Abdullah Saleh is still in some way convinced that he has the backing of at least of Saudi Arabia, which is obviously an incredibly important regional power, and perhaps still the United States. If you look at his latest speech on Sunday, a good portion of it was devoted to praising his allies in the West, America and Saudi Arabia, for their assistance in fighting terrorism. And that's, you know, a very important difference.
Tom Finn, freelance journalist based in Sana'a, Yemen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.